You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Be led by something greater than material needs. Yeah. There's no way that, as fleeting as material things are, that you're gonna sustain life if that's all you're hungry for.
Yeah.
I do a solo trip every year.
Oh, what?
Yeah, that's gonna be in a prenup, so.
And she got a prenup. Welcome back to The Couch with Joy, y'all. And y'all already know what time it is. It is our time to heal, evolve, and transform together in a sacred space. So today I have a beautiful guest with me, but before I introduce her, I want you guys to subscribe to the channel. Okay, go ahead and subscribe to the channel and send this episode to all your people in the church group chat, the friend group chat, the cousin group chat, all the group chats. Just go ahead and share it, copy, paste, so everybody can get the love that we're sharing today, because y'all already know this podcast is to help you evolve in all areas. We are healing in all the things, but I also want your business to be together too. And that'll keep your mental health intact as well. And today we're all going to learn something, because this topic is something that I was like, you know, I really don't know too much about. And today we're talking about grants. Writing grants. Are you qualified for a grant? Do you even know what a grant is? This beautiful lady is a grant writer, and her name is Stormy Banks, y'all. We have the beautiful Stormy Banks here today, and I couldn't be more grateful for her to be on the couch with me. Well, and we already started talking, so her energy is already top notch, and she a Taurus, so y'all already know, girls. So I'm just happy to have you here.
Thank you for sharing this knowledge with us. I'm feeling peaceful. I'm feeling giving. This is inviting space for me to pour.
That's good. Because the first question is, how's your heart? That's what I ask my people all the time. How's your heart today?
Solid. My heart is always solid. You know, that's what your texture is worth. So my heart is always solid.
That's good. Okay. So for the people who don't know Miss Stormy, is Stormy your real name? That's what mama named you? Stormy?
You know.
Here we go. Stormy. Tell me what about the name.
Actually, it came, my homeboy nicknamed me that when we were in New York. And he was like, you always storming up something or bringing a storm, or just, you know, I just have a very rambunctious personality where I just want to be like, this is what it is, period. Mm-hmm. So he like, you're always storming. So that actually came from there. And then Banks came from, you know, what I do in my industry, and some people that I knew who had a last name Banks that I always loved. So that's kind of how I created the Stormy Banks.
Got it. I love it. You definitely, the name fits for
Thank
sure. Because
you.
Your energy is, it takes up the room.
Thank you.
In a great way. So for the people who don't know what you do, before we do that, before she says what she does, who is Stormy Banks? The human being, the person. Who are you?
I mean, there's so many ways to articulate who I believe myself to be. I think the main one that I actually resonate the most with, just like who I am to my family. So I'm a daughter, of course, a sister, a auntie, finally.
Auntie.
I know, I'm an auntie. Those are really like the traits that I resonate with the most. My family is so important to me, and that's kind of like my why of why I've been doing all of this, is just to provide a better outcome for the generations to come. But also, I'm really like a sister, you know, on a level of not just with my biological sister, but just to women in general. I really enjoy sisterhood. I really enjoy, you know, loving and sharing with other people. That's like a big personality trait for me.
That's dope. I can tell that you're a girl's girl. but it takes one to know one too, because the ones who are insecure might be like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But you got that energy that's like, no, I'm here to help you. I'm just here, you know, as I show up as me and that's it. I love the energy. So grants. I don't know much about grants. I know when I was younger, of course, applying for college. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to write my essays. I had to do my thing. And I'm just like, I don't really, you know, I got my Pell Grant, so I don't have any student loans thanks to grants.
Come on now.
Yeah. So that's one thing I do know, is that they helped me get through college. And thank God for a good GPA and good parents that made me study. Because I got all the grants I signed up for. But in business, it's like it went out of my mind. Like, mm-hmm. I could actually apply for grants for my business.
Correct.
So what made you get started in the grant writing profession?
Yeah, so initially I was a hairstylist, right? Okay. And I owned a mobile hair salon in New York. And then COVID came around and shut us down for so long that we ended up kind of phasing that business out and dissolving. And so then I had already had the skill set of grants, because we had gone for a couple grants in that company. And I was like, okay, well, what's happening? I kind of checked out what was happening in the marketplace. And it was a lot of people was popping up online, teaching and coaching and being, you know, business entrepreneurs and all this mm-hmm. stuff. And I'm like, okay, I'm already an entrepreneur. I'm already had a business successfully. And I was like, and I also understand this grants. And COVID was a time where people really needed capital.
Yeah.
And so the government was putting out tons of grants at that time that a lot of people got access to. And so I was like, well, let me just start showing people how to do it. So it started off, honestly, just like an educational thing. Mm-hmm. I would get on Instagram Live and be like, hey, y'all, this is what we got to do. Let's fill out the application together. Let's do this. I would get on Zooms and have a bunch of people in there. We would go over it all night, show them how to do it, yada, yada. And then, you know, the need kind of showed up on its own. They're like, well, can you do this for us? Because some of us is busy, or some of us mm-hmm. don't feel like it, whatever the case was. And I said, you know, I can mm-hmm. do that. So yeah, I just answered the calling from when we were getting on the Zooms, and everybody wanted me to kind of do it for them because they didn't have time or whatever was going on. And so I was like, you know, yes, I absolutely can. And so that's what birthed me starting my full service grant writing agency.
Okay. Grants, your first grant, why did you sign up for your first one?
So I had applied to 10 before I had won one. The mm-hmm. first one that I won was a $50,000 grant. And I signed up for it specifically, actually, because jumping back, my best friend had robbed me in between COVID and me starting mm-hmm. Pink Print. And the money that I was going to have, the seed money that I was going to use that she took from me, was what I was going to start my next salon within Atlanta, because mm-hmm. Atlanta was open during COVID. Y'all was outside.
Yeah, we was outside.
And so when that opportunity got taken away from me, I was actually pretty desperate. I was like, I need money, and I don't have the most revenue. I didn't have the best credit. So I'm like, what options are still available outside of, you know, traditional routes? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, grants. Okay, cool. Let me start applying to some grants and finding some grants. I had been like applying and finally had won one and recouped, you know, pretty much what she had taken from me. And so that's how I started my company. And that's the reason why I was applying at that time, was simply because I was like, I need money to get started. Like, I literally have nothing.
Mm-hmm. So for the person watching that says, okay, well, I don't have anything. I don't know. My credit's not good, but I do want to start this business. Mm-hmm. What is the first step to like getting that grant? And do we need a person to fill it out for us, or can we do that on our own?
Yeah, honestly, people can do it themselves, right? It's just about making sure that you're at the level of your competition, because grants are a competitive based program. Mm-hmm. So you can't go in, you know, putting the basic necessities and thinking you're going to win over a me who's applying, you know?
Got it.
So we do host like tons of seminars as well still to teach people how to do it themselves, because they may not be able to afford the luxury of hiring a grant writer, because, mm-hmm. you know, we're charging $165 an hour to help people win grants. And so what you're going to need, like at the baseline, is I tell people, yes, there are grants for when you're a startup business and you are just getting started. You don't have the business registered or anything, but they're going to be low. They're going to be, you know, under 5,000, 5,000 and under. So if you're wanting to start with some good, you know, 3 month capital, mm-hmm. at least try to get your business registered, get your website, get your social media accounts, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and get your business plan and understand a good budget of what you would actually spend the money on. Not like, oh, I need a, you know, $50,000 for this and $10,000 for that. Like actually line item by line item, like, okay, marketing budget is going to be $10,000, but within that $10,000, we need $5,500 for ads. We're going to run Instagram ads. We need to hire a social media manager who can grow us organically. And then you're justifying why you're spending it there. How is it going to grow the business? How is it going to sustain the business? So if you can kind of get those basic documents together and have a good mission and vision for the business, you honestly would have a good chance of going for grants more than a lot of people.
Okay. So what motivated you to go and be a grant writer instead of pursuing your beauty, hair, all that stuff? Like what made you say, you know, I'm gonna do this?
I think it actually wasn't a choice that I had. It started, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, Joy, but when there's constant blocks for something that's supposed to happen, that you have your vision set on, and for some reason it's like it's just never working out, there's only so much energy and force that you can put towards it to make it happen. At some point you have to, you know, surrender and say, okay, so what is the road then, you know? Because I'm like, I'm thinking I want to start this salon in Atlanta and I get robbed and then this happens and then this happens and now this is happening. So what is the path? Show me so I can be in alignment with the vision that you have. And I'm talking to God when I'm talking. Show me the vision that you have for me so that I can be in alignment with you, because I don't want to keep using my energy and time in the wrong ways. Yeah. So this is what ended up causing me to pivot and saying, you know what? Clearly, let me try something else. Yeah. And when I started my company, Pinkprint, I can tell you the first classes we hosted, the first ebooks we created, they just were like knockout, out the park, like thousands of people registering, like tens of thousands of dollars being made. It just flowed like evergreen, you know, it was like we was in this room, you know?
Got it.
And so I just surrendered and became obedient instead of constantly pushing myself to do something that I had envisioned and just listened to what was for me.
That's fire. Okay. So for the people watching, just because you got a passion and you going hard at it, God really might have another avenue for you to make millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And don't sit on that feeling. And then it's what you love to do, and it comes easy and natural to you, too.
Yeah. And at first, I was pretty disappointed, right? Mm-hmm. Because I never felt like I was this corporate businesswoman. I always felt like I was an artist. You know, I was tattooed, and I used to wear my hair pink, and there was like, I was just like a cool person. And so being a grant writer, I felt like I had to be this professional woman and wearing the bob and taking the pictures like this. Like, you know, it became a part of my identity, but I'm actually now more so transitioning back into being that regular cool girl that I've always really been, because I do feel like you should show up authentically. And I also think that people can transition and bring the good parts of them that they love with them. You don't have to remove everything to become this new person. So just, you know, like you said, you don't have to push it too hard. If it's not opening up for you, surrender to that.
I like that. I like that a lot. Okay. So Pinkprint. Tell us about it. Tell us about this business, when you started it, and how's it going?
Yeah, so Pinkprint is a full-service grant writing agency, and we started March 17 of 2021 is the day that we, like, registered. And I would say we fully launched in April of that same year. I mean, now it's beyond my wildest dream. Like, it's the most successful company I've ever built and run, and it's multi-department, multi-managed, you know, tons of staff working, grant writers on the team, and it's just amazing. And we're, like, gearing up to get acquired. I have this goal in my head. I'm like, I have to sell this company for $100 million.
Okay.
Like, yeah, I'm every day I'm building to that. And that's my main idea, is just I wanna be acquired. And I wanna be acquired simply because if I had $100 million, like the way that the shift would happen in the community Oh, you would feel mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. Like, I would help people in a whole mm-hmm. different way. Mm-hmm. Because I've been so grassroots for so long. Mm-hmm. I know the needs. I understand the business models. I understand what's lacking. But I personally don't have enough money to help everybody.
Got it.
So if I had $100 million, we would all be granted. I feel that.
Okay. And when you say you want to help the community, tell me more about that. I think that's dope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so ultimately my goal is to start a VC firm at some point and like really invest into people and help them grow and get access to other opportunities. But my main objective right now is I want people to be more debt free. Mm. I genuinely feel like debt holds back our community and our ability to become, you know, a bigger player when it comes to making shifts in the financial world and the economy of the United States. And so if I can position people to be more debt free and tell them, you know, hey, you need to have some revenues before you're just going and getting credit cards for your business mm-hmm. because you have to be able to pay that stuff back and with interest, you yeah. know, or people are always saying things like, oh, you know, rich people are always taking on loans and taking on debt. Yes, but they're doing it against with collateral of something mm. that they own. They're not just doing it because they started a business. It's also like, okay, we had either money in the bank from revenue or we have property or we have, you know, they have other things to put it up mm. as collateral. We don't be having no collateral and just be going into debt, betting up against a business that we mm-hmm. have no idea if it's even going to work. The only thing we know is guaranteed that we will have to pay that money back.
Yeah.
So for me, I just want us to shift when we take on debt. Because I'm not saying mm-hmm. debt is bad. There's a time for it, though, yeah. right? And that's mm-hmm. not right at the beginning of starting a brand new business as a first-time entrepreneur.
Jesus. I had someone want me to get a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And it paid, I think it was close to $10,000
for a mentorship program or something. Say the truth. Shame yeah. the devil.
And I was just like, I said, oh, I can't do that. Because I don't have $10,000 coming in right now. Like, right. what? And honestly, it's like the pressure to do so is so high nowadays.
Talk about it.
And I have friends who have 3, 4, 5, 6 credit cards. And I still haven't got to the place where I feel comfortable with getting one. I'm putting my business out there. But until my bank account can hold the weight.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that will help the community tremendously.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that is amazing that you're thinking about it in that way. Because some of us don't even think further than $1 million.
Yeah.
You know, because $1 million is people, I want to make $1 million this year. And it's kind of like, okay. Mm-hmm. And that's like where it stops. So yeah. when did you find your voice? And when did this person, Stormy, that says, I want $100 million? How was she birthed? Through what trials, challenges? Because I know we've had some.
Yeah. The craziest thing, they were just asking me this earlier today too, is like, how did I get that idea that I wanted to make $100 million? And again, it was birthed from the need. Like, I'm literally seeing budgets all day, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like adding it up, like, dang, we need a lot of money in our community. Like, people really need some money. And there's some people with some ideas like that could shift cultures. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, we need $100 million, mm-hmm. you know? And so I'm like, if I get the $100 million, everybody's going to have the $100 million, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how kind of my goal came up, is just genuinely seeing the need from working with so many people on a day-to-day basis. I work with hundreds of entrepreneurs a month. So, you know, I really get to see what's needed to happen out there to really shift and make change. But I think that my voice genuinely came from it's a childhood thing. Mm-hmm. I was so fortunate to have a mother and a father and siblings who are all very creative people, musically creative, artistic expression, you know, visual creators, like they do all the type of things. And they're also entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. You know, most of my siblings are entrepreneurs or executives in their lane. And so that environment cultivated the ability for me to try things and not be shamed, mm-hmm. right? A lot of people don't have the ability to try. They are so scared of making another poor mm-hmm. person look at them and say, oh, look at you, you know, mm-hmm. trying something different. Like, they're so focused on trying to keep the opinions of other poor people that they mm-hmm. don't end up ever not being poor.
Right.
And so for me, I was so grateful because my family is like, try it. Yeah, do it. Like one thing we say in our household is, what's the worst that can happen? We say that all the time. Like, we're like, okay, the worst that can happen is you're going to die. And once you're dead, it's not going to matter because you're going to be dead.
Yep.
So you might as well try it, you know? So I think that's where my voice came from, is the environment and the ability to express things that I had desires to do.
Okay, that's cool. Mm. Come on, family. Come through. grant writers. So if me as an example, if I wanted to become a grant writer, what was the process for you to be certified, to start this business, and to start helping people get grants?
Yeah, so the certification is about 52 hours. You could do online or in-person courses and things like that. But then the next thing is that, of course, you need on-job training. So you should work under somebody. I didn't take that route. I actually took the work route to do a lot of free labor for the people that I had already built the community with. Mm-hmm. And so I just literally was writing grants and submitting them until I kind of built up like, okay, I got a really good success rate, right? My first success rate, I had like 76%. At that time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I could kind of start charging like at least an intermediate level. And so that's kind of where I started at. And as I'm building it up, I'm like really locking in my formula to figure out what genuinely works. And also, you got to do some groundwork. Like, you have to, as the grant writer, it isn't a guarantee that I'm going to get you the funding, right? I'm not the person choosing who's going to win the grant, but you should get really close. And that comes with also networking so that you can fully understand what is this organization looking for. Like, that's, I get on calls, emails, like I'm called, like if you ever want a grant and I seen you on the website, I'm DMing you. Like, I have to really like beat the competition out, right? Mm-hmm. And so it takes a lot of gusto to be a grant writer. It's not just me behind my computer. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of front-facing stuff that I do that people don't even know. I'm really moving and shaking right now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm doing for my clients, is to help make sure that I can keep my success rate for my company, and also just to be able to confidently move in the field that I'm in, so that I know when somebody pays me, I might not be able to tell you 100% guarantee, but I can say, girl, it's like 88%, because that's the success rate that we've had for the last 2 years. So if you're wanting to become a grant writer, definitely get certified, you know, follow the ethics and the morals, but understand that you gotta be, you know, Kamala Harris out here. You gotta be Michelle Obama, moving and shaking in the industries and in the field. So that's kind of what it would look like. And then try it out for a long time before you just start charging people, you know.
How long have you been doing it?
So we launched in 2021, and that's when I got started.
Oh, so you just, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so what strategies did you implement to achieve this rapid success?
MF and work.
And you secured over $17 million.
We're at 18 now.
Oh, yeah. So y'all heard that? I said 17. She said 18.
We at 18 now. Okay. Yep. It's work.
You almost at 100, girl.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. I'm telling you, it's going to be so crazy. I already see it. I'm already there.
And I believe you.
Mentally, I'm literally there. I'm walking in that already. I'm just waiting for everything else to catch up. And that's just...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
God's still developing some characteristics in me so that I can maintain it when I get it. But mentally, I'm there. I've been there for a while now. But strategies that I've used, it's day in and day out work. I said this earlier, and this might be something that could be deemed as negative, but I actually move in a lot of fear sometimes. And I say this with like all the positivity as possible.
For sure.
I don't want anybody else to take my spot. And that's just where I'm at with it. Like, I've worked too hard to have somebody else swoop up my spot because I'm missing my mark, because I'm not putting in the work, because I'm not showing up. It's just not an option for me. Mm-hmm. And so when you talk about a strategy, the strategy is always checking out what's going on, always looking at the competition, always seeing what new things are happening, always staying on top of industry standards, and just being the best. Mm-hmm. That's just the only option I'm going to take. So that's how I be moving. That's the strategy. Mm.
So now I want to go somewhere else. Now that you said that, you've sparked something in me.
Okay.
Okay. When it comes to gender roles.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Gender roles. Because you're powerful, mm-hmm. right? And I know you're engaged. Uh-huh. And a lot of women out here, and I can be honest, I was raised in a house where my mom fortunately didn't have to work, mm-hmm. you know, and that's just what I always saw. So I'm very relaxed when it comes to life, period. And I think it's a DNA thing that I've been trying to, you know, overcome or whatever. And I know it's a lot of women out there like me that, when we move and shake too much, we'd be like, oh, I just want to
stress, honey.
Help me. Help me, child. And how do you balance the being this wife, not a mother yet, mm-hmm. soon to be, and moving every day? How does that work in your relationship?
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that you have to find what works. And that's ever shifting. There's never really balance. It's mm-hmm. just always a shift of priorities happening. Mm-hmm. So it started for us personally. We did a lot of therapy, like in the beginning of our relationship. You know, we were probably like 8 months in and we started therapy, because I just think that if you're looking to get married, you should be figuring out the tools that you guys are going to need to actually have a mm-hmm. longevity and sustain the relationship. And so with therapy, we found a lot of tools of like, okay, how can we set up scheduling, right? Like mm-hmm. my schedule is really packed. What are the tools that we need to have in order to actually be able to spend time with each other that is a good amount for both of us, mm-hmm. and setting those boundaries of like what are our non-negotiables. And it takes you, of course, as a woman who's a leader and has led a lot of teams and people and yeah. all these things, I also have to understand that a good leader is a follower, mm-hmm. right? And I don't feel like me and my man are following or leader. I think we're both strong in our own capacity and we're walking hand in hand, side to side. And so what happens for us is that we just set very clear boundaries, and it's like, hey, this is what we're doing. This is not what I'm okay with. This mm-hmm. is what I'm okay with. And you just have to have a lot of respect. So if he says that he's not okay with something, I have to respect that and just adhere to his boundaries. And I think that's where it started at, is setting good boundaries and getting therapy to get new tools that we just both didn't have.
And he loves that you move and shake and you're...
Oh, yeah. Sometimes, though, he don't be wanting me at the events, the networking events.
Listen, I already know.
Because I'm going to show you right. Uh-huh. Okay? So he be like, nah, let me handle this one on my mm-hmm. own. Because, you know, I'm a mover. You know, I'm going to do what needs to be done. And so sometimes it's good because my connections have helped him and vice yeah. versa. So it's nice for career movement, but it also does hinder the timeline of family yeah, as well. Sure. Because I'm like, oh no, I got to get to these goals first before I can yeah. think about other things.
Because you're going to have to sit when that baby.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. The capacity at what I'm outputting now definitely will not look the same yeah. once I have a child. And I think that all the time. I'm like, at what point in my day did I have a kid? I think it all the time.
Yeah.
I'm literally trying to prepare myself.
It's definitely a mental adjustment. Mm-hmm. And but I feel like the pace that you're going, it's going to set you up nicely to take a nice break.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. If I can get to my 100 million in 5 years, mm-hmm. by the time I'm 35, then I'll be chilling.
It's going to be till great.
40. And then 40, I'll start VC, doing this, that, and the third.
And what's VC? I heard
venture capital.
Venture
capital is essentially where you invest money into a company mm-hmm. and you take an equity percentage out of the company.
Mm. So you're getting pieces of pie.
Pieces of pie.
Yep. Because I had a friend who's pretty wealthy, and he always said, it's better to have 5% of that pie than 100, and then you have 5% everywhere.
Come on now.
And I said, got it.
All I got need it. 2%. 2%
get that
from
check
200.
While I'm sitting at home. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so smart. Okay. What lessons have you learned from just living this life, period, as a grant writer and being engaged, one in this 100 million? What lessons have been the biggest lessons that you've learned through this process?
I think one of the biggest things that I constantly go to is stay connected to your source. That's a non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. You have to be led by something greater than material needs.
Yeah.
There's no way that, as fleeting as material things are, that you're going to sustain life if that's all you're hungry for.
Yeah.
You have to be hungry for something spiritually and emotionally and some type of love that leads you mm-hmm. through life. So staying connected to source is definitely a big lesson. I would say also I've learned the lesson of silence. You know, after getting robbed by my friend, I have been very silent in just the things that I aspire to do, you know, that are not yet in the works.
Mm-hmm.
Once they're in the works, I'm like, yeah, y'all, here you go. Here's the information. But when it's in your spirit and you haven't really developed the plan yeah. for it or the vision for it, silence is really important so that people don't try to steal your joy, because the devil is real. And I think also another lesson that I've learned is patience, you know? Patience really shows you who you are, because have you ever had it where somebody asks you to do something for them and you tell them no, and then you see their real character jump out?
Yeah.
And you see how they really move with you or how they are just in themselves?
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate those moments.
Mm-hmm.
And those moments came with me being patient with developing relationships, you know, not jumping on a relationship so quick or jumping on an opportunity so quick mm-hmm. or getting a credit card and getting a $10,000 mentorship. Mm-hmm. Having patience to sit back and say, you know what, I'm going to say no first mm-hmm. and then I'm going to let it pan out
yeah.
to see how it unfolds. And then I'll say yes once I see it unfold. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm okay with being patient. I don't need to hurry up and get the opportunity.
I gotta get it.
Yeah. If the opportunity is for me, it's going to come around. Okay.
Yeah,
trust.
Sure.
So I just trust that patience will develop and show me what I need to know.
That's good.
What's something you learned?
What's
a lesson? Give me one.
Ooh. Patience is one of them. Well, I want to do a different one, so I got to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Follow your joy.
Hmm.
Like, a lot of us do stuff that we don't like. And in this, it's just taught me to follow my joy, keep the vision.
Mm-hmm.
God gave me a vision at the beginning, and it's shifted from what I saw. It's just kind of shifted a bit. And it's kind of like, no, I told you what I wanted from you, and you have to do that. So it's kind of like just keeping, like you said, connected to source,
mm-hmm.
what I told you to do. And even though it looks different from what you thought, I still have you in mind.
Yeah.
I have not forgotten you. I have not forgotten what I said to you. I am keeping all my promises to you. And that's the thing that I learned, that the promises are still yay and amen, as they say in church.
Yes.
So
amen.
That's the lesson, is just stay the course.
I love that.
Yeah. Stay the course, and it all pan out the way it's supposed to be. And even if you started with that friend, gotta refill
and
places.
Has.
And yeah. restore things that we probably didn't think would be restored. So,
or that we didn't need anyway.
Right.
You know, you'll think that you have this abundance of something in your life. The whole time it was rotten fruit spreading mm-hmm. all over.
Yeah.
So the moment that it removes itself, now you have space for something to come in mm-hmm. and heal and restore and yeah. replenish. And you're like, oh my goodness, this is how it was supposed yeah. to feel the whole time.
Yep.
Yeah.
And taking breaks,
mm-hmm.
like taking moments to
Amen.
Breathe. Yeah, for real. I think I took 2-3 months off from
this
filming?
Year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Last year.
Okay.
And it was worth it. You know, I was a little upset with God about a few things,
mm-hmm.
and that break showed me that I was still His number one priority.
Hello.
So, I say all of that to say, yeah, just stay the course, be patient, trust God and nobody else. Honestly.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. Yeah, I be taking breaks, child. So May, I do a solo trip
mm-hmm.
every year.
Oh, what?
Yeah. That's going to be in a prenup, so.
And she got a prenup. See, that's why I was asking about this. Okay. And he's okay with all of that.
Boundaries. I've been doing that for the last 10 years. So when I turned 20, I did my first solo trip to Bali.
And how long do you stay?
A month. I go for the full month of May. Mm-hmm. Yep, I go for the full month of May. So this May, I went to Spain and I went to Italy. And I do November. I only do like 2 weeks in November, but that's mm-hmm. not a solo trip. That's when I like go with whoever's ready to go mm-hmm. at the time. Those are like my two big breaks that I take throughout the year. And I stand by those. And it just gives me something to live for yeah. a little bit too. Because I'm like, okay, I'm like, Storm, put the work in. You got mm-hmm. three more months. Like, and then mm-hmm. you out, baby. You out. So it keeps me like on a track, mm-hmm. on a good pace. But yeah, November, come on now.
And where are you going this year?
I don't know yet. I'm thinking Thailand. Ooh. Yep. I'm thinking Thailand. Maybe went to St. Thomas last year, November, just as something cute mm-hmm. and quick. But Thailand might be, if I go to Thailand, I'm doing a month.
Oh, you got to do a month.
Yeah.
I've never been to Thailand. It's on your list for
yeah.
sure. Bali, I did.
Me too.
It was. Oh nice. My God.
I loved it. And it was so cheap.
It was cheap.
I was living good. I swear. I spent $800, like just like doing all kind of stuff mm-hmm. aside from like the place I stayed at, was living. I had a scooter. Yep. I was living.
Yep. Water, fresh fruit, girl. Yes.
Living.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. And so your month, you just be by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Solo dolo. Vibing. Doing whatever I want to do. No compromising. You need that time. I'm trying to tell you. You need that time. No compromising. No kids. Mm-hmm. No work. Nobody needing you. And you know, it's also a test. I let everything burn down in that month, essentially, right? Mm. Whatever is going to collapse yeah. without me, let it burn so that when I come back, I know what to build. You know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm okay with that. And I go and I am free. I eat everything I see. I mm-hmm. drink whatever I want to drink. Mm-hmm. I enjoy whatever experiences are available to me. And I just think and I talk and I write and I express myself in ways that you can't do when you're Stormy Banks in the U.S. Right. But I can go out to Italy and be, you know, Geneva. Uh-huh. Hey, y'all, you uh-huh. know, I could just be anything. Yeah. And I like to like test that out and see, let my creativity just kind of flow. Like, okay, what's the character in Italy this month, you know?
I love that.
I do. It's good. It's good.
I love that. Okay. I wanted to ask one thing because now we're going to backtrack. For the people, because it hit my spirit that mm-hmm. a lot of y'all are hearing about these grants and you're like, oh, I'm finna sign up for one right now. What are the no's mm-hmm. when you get this money? If you get this $100,000 grant, what can we not do with this money? Or what should we only do with this money so people mm-hmm. know?
Well, you should be honest with what you're going to use it for and then use it in that way. Mm-hmm. So on your proposal, you'll be stating what you'll use it for and you should do that. Now, technically, you have about 10% of whatever you got funded as wiggle room that you can kind of use for miscellaneous expenses or like, you know, unforeseen things that may pop mm-hmm. up. But you shouldn't be paying more than 20% to like a consultant. So like if you're hiring a business coach or someone to consult you, it's kind of frowned upon to use more than 20% on those kind of fees. And then also paying off debt. You shouldn't use money for like paying off a credit card bill or backup bills and things like that. If you put that on your proposal, mm-hmm. pretty much it's going to get denied. Like I have never seen a proposal get approved that says I want to use $5,000 to pay off credit card debt. Mm-hmm. I would also say you want to be really transparent with the money. So I always set up like bookkeeping. So I use QuickBooks and we have an account, like a grant bank account that like mm-hmm. all of our grant funds go to so that we can have profit and loss sheets. Mm-hmm. The more transparent you are, the more money you'll get because you're able to keep those relationships built up. Like our company is at a place where we don't really have to apply so much to grants as we used to because we have some relationships of people that we can like say, hey, you know, let me know when you guys have another opportunity or they reach out to us and it's like, hey, we have this opportunity. You guys were great last year or 2 years ago, whatever the case mm-hmm. may be. So I think it's just important to be honest, be clear, be transparent, and not spend the money on debt. But other than that, if you need to travel, if you need continuous education, if you need staff, marketing, a building, rent, utilities, you know, sponsorship, whatever that really looks like, there's a lot of room of what you can do with grant funding to grow your business. I would just say focus on spending it on things that build revenue streams so that once you've used the grant, you now have money coming in. That's that would be the key.
Okay. And how do you qualify, and who would be qualified to even go and apply for a grant?
Yeah, so for-profit businesses and nonprofit businesses are qualified for grants. There's grants all the time. And the grants vary so much, it's hard to give, like, these are the qualifications, because it's really based on each individual grant opportunity. But if you read the section called eligibility requirements, you'll be able to know who are they looking for. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to apply to grants that are industry-specific. A lot of people think, oh, if I'm a hairstylist, I can only apply to grants that say for salon owners or hairstylists, and that couldn't be further from the truth. It could be a grant that says, here's a grant for, you know, 6,000, for instance, the Gusto grant is out right now. It might not be out once this episode goes out. It's $6,000 of payroll costs. If you need payroll and you got a payroll, go get the grant, you know? Okay. So people think it has to be specific to industry for them to apply, and that's just not the case.
And you get the heads up when there's a grant being, there's a grant available.
I wouldn't say we get a heads up. What I will say is that I have a research team. There's five people on my research team who scour the internet all day. That's their job. So if it feels like we're getting a heads up, it's just because we're on the ball of what's going on, and we just know the databases to use. So like one of the databases we use is grantwatch.com to find grants that are coming out, and we're just constantly on the ball looking for the opportunities.
That's amazing. Okay, before you go, one last question. Are we going to get back in this hair? Are you going to open you up some salons? Are we going to see more of you in that genre?
That's in the cards.
Okay. Because I don't want you to give it up. I kind of feel like it's still in you.
Yeah, it is. And it's in the cards. But the way that I'm going to be able to do it, honestly, I'm so freaking grateful. I literally say this on almost every podcast or every interview or on my live. I tell my best friend, thank you so much for robbing me, because you doing that opened my life up to, A, I got to see who I really was, right? I didn't take any revenge on her. I didn't try to go beat her up or nothing.
And you know why you still call her friend?
Yeah.
My friend robbed me. That's how I know where your heart is, because most people say, this person, you still my friend. Yeah.
When you love somebody like that, and people have been like, girl, you dumb. I would have did this to her and did this. I said, that's you. That's because that's who you are. For me, if I loved you, there is no, oh, I only loved you when we was good together. Yeah. I love you through every season. I still pray for you to do well. I still wish you well. I still, if somebody came and asked me about you, I still wouldn't say your name in public or try to make you miss opportunities. I'm not that girl. You did what you did to me, whatever season you was in, whatever devil was playing on your mind. That's the route you took with me. I'm going to separate and remove myself, but I'm still going to be me. I trust myself so much now, because that was a devastating time my life, but now I'm able to say, this is who I am, period. No one can play with who I believe myself to be, because I've seen me be that person, good, bad, and ugly. That's a different type of solid.
It is.
So I've gotten that from that situation, and it just plays into every part of who I am in my life. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And I just tell her all the time, thank you, sis. Thank you, because I was so lost and I didn't have a clear vision in those times. And that's probably why I was moving too quick and things happened to me the way they did, because I needed to surrender and be obedient. And it was just my time for God to say, okay, you ain't been listening for a little too long. Let's make this happen, because I need you to hear me. It's levels I need you to get to. It's people I need you to serve. And you're not doing it in this space. So Shazam. And I was shifted. You know?
And he held you through it.
Absolutely. I'm so grateful.
It showed up big time.
A big one.
Big time.
You want to hear me? Girl, couldn't have never did it a better way. I'm the character that built, everything that came from it, I'm just completely grateful for it. It's in the cards. It's going to be Salon 180. That's what we have trademarked already. It's already done. Salon 180, because you're going to come in with transformation, and also a significant to the transformation that's happened in my life. Come on now.
I'm so proud of you.
Come on now.
That's such a good story.
It's going to be good.
Oh, yes. You wrote a book?
I haven't yet. I need to.
Oh, got to.
I need two even more years.
Even if it's a book about them 1 month by yourself.
Yeah.
Child,
yeah,
women
my
would
solo
read that.
Trip. If I did it, like, because I have so many journals from when I was solo trip. So if I did like a journal log.
You call it solo trip. Just so people can get back.
The way back to you.
Girl. Come on, girl.
I'll give you your percentage.
Right.
Your 2%.
Right. Come on. Yes.
That's good. Mm-hmm. I like that.
That would be dope. I would read it.
It could be an Amazon bestseller.
Girl, yes. You see, they was on, what's that? What's the girl told her story in 90 episodes.
Yep. I sure do. Yeah.
That would be dope. Okay. So how can the people keep in touch with you, Stormy?
Absolutely. The best way is, of course, through Instagram. You can follow me at StormyBanks_, and that's Stormy with an I. And then, of course, if you're ever interested or need help with grant writing, you can reach out to us at 1-800-295-0181.
That's dope. And her, all her information will be in the description below, so you don't miss out on anything. And I hope y'all was listening, because I learned so much.
It was good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
So until next time, y'all. And make sure y'all drop some love in these comments and go to her Instagram and show her some love and tell her thank you for dropping this knowledge, okay? But until next time, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, remember, there's always room for you right here on the couch.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.